Colossians chapter 1. I want to look at verses 21 to 23 today. I want to talk about living the truth. How many of you need to live the truth? How many of you want to live a lie? You want to live a lie? No, you want to live the truth. That was just a delayed response. None of us really want to live a lie, but you know what? Probably every one of you have. At some point in your life, you have lied. You've lived it. But there's a truth that we need to live, and we as believers are called to live the truth. This morning, in these few verses, Paul reminds us of the very simple truth of the gospel. And we're going to look at it. Heavenly Father, as we peruse over your word today, Lord, would you bring life to us through it? Lord, thank you for the each endeavor. But Lord, teach us as a body of believers, this local body, Lord, to be who you want us to be. Lord, thank you for your word today. And may it be living and life to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. For this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. The first thing that Paul mentions in these scriptures is our natural mind. How many of you have a natural mind? Well, I'm teaching this morning, every one of you have a natural mind. None of us have a supernatural, divine mind. We all have this natural mind. And Paul begins by reminding the Colossians of where they had been. He reminds the Colossians, he says, you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. There are similar words that Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He writes these words in chapter 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. The Bible tells us that all of us were alienated from God. Mankind has been created in the image of God. You've heard that. Mankind was made for fellowship with God. But something happened that alienated us. Sin alienated us to the point that we have become enemies of God. You say, no, not me. He says we're enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. Notice that we not only did things wrong, we desired and we thought the wrong thoughts as well. How many of you have ever had an evil thought? How many appendages do you need to put up? If you did not just tell me the truth, you just had an evil thought and you lied. I don't want to tell you my faults, but church, this natural mind has evil thoughts. I hate it. But it's the natural. And it causes us to become an enemy of God because of the behavior that comes out of it if we don't change. We become enemies. In our natural minds, we have no desire to bow down to God and submit to Him. In fact, there's a lot of people who say, I want to know God. It really isn't true. Most people want to follow their own desires, their own ways. In Romans chapter 1, Paul makes an incredible point, and he gives us an incredible explanation in several verses. Let me just read a few to you. In chapter 1 of Romans, verse 21. Yes, listen to this. They knew God. Aren't you glad? They knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Church, how would you like to show up here and worship an idol? Church, you need to recognize the cross is not an idol. Jesus is not there. I'm so glad the cross don't remain. I'm glad that I don't know if it was the tomb He came out of. Church, if we had the Ark of the Covenant, we would probably try to fall down and worship before it. There is none to be worshipped but Jesus Christ and what He did. He's alive and He sits enthroned in heaven and He wants to be enthroned in your hearts. Church, He is the one to be worshipped. Yet there are religions, there are even churches that have put idols and other things to worship. Church, there is but one to worship. Unfortunately, sin, rebellion, wickedness has become so prevalent in the lives of people that people live deceived. Over time, their conscience becomes numbed to the reality of what's good and what's evil. In fact, the Bible tells us that one day, in church, I believe we're getting closer and closer, that evil will be called good, and good will be called evil. And church, if we are not so close, in fact, people call what we're doing today evil. They're meeting together. They have their little clique. In church, we cannot do that. We are meeting for a good purpose because of a good news. But I want to tell you the truth this morning, because when you get numb to sin, you try to justify your sin and you try to soothe your conscience. And nobody else will tell you the truth, so I will. Let me tell you how you do it. See, I believe when you begin to identify those things in your life, that God allows those things to come to the surface so you can scrape them off. So let me identify them so the dross can come out of your life. Here's one of the ways you do it. Denial of sin. I didn't do anything wrong. That's one of the very first things we hear from our children. Did you take the cookies? Not me. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything wrong. Church, we just deny it. How about this one? How about a diversion of sin? Everyone is doing it. We want to put it off on everybody else because everybody else is doing it. Let me do it. I'll get caught up in it. Church, we cannot divert our sin. Here's another one, a repression of sin. I'll deal with that later. We believe that if we never really examine, if we never really discuss what was right or what was wrong about our action, then it has no consequence. If I don't spend any time on it, it can't affect me. How about this one, church? Rationalization of our sin. Well, it's really not that bad. And then we try to explain that the evil that we did was really for a good purpose. Well, hopefully they saw me act that way and they won't do that. We rationalize it. How about this one? Renaming of sin. You see, if we call sin something else, then it doesn't really seem like sin anymore. Like lying becomes, I was sparing another the painful truth. Or a divisive spirit says, I was just sharing my concerns. Church, we rename these things and our natural mind gets caught up in them. And unfortunately, it leads us astray. And we become so desensitized to sin that we no longer know what the standard of truth is. And then there is no fear of God. This morning, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to change your mind, I would stand in awe and in reverence and in fear of who God is. Church, if he showed up, how would you react? Oh, yeah, that's the God who died for me. Yep. Church, I reverence him. I stand in awe, recognizing that we're enemies of God. It's a starting point of the gospel. Did you know that most people struggle with coming to Christ because they don't recognize how bad they are? That's the biggest problem. It isn't that Christ died. It isn't that they believe in good morals and all of that. It's that they don't recognize that they have sinned, that they are an enemy of God. And that is the starting point of the gospel. I know there may be some that are offended at this. But somebody's got to tell you the truth, church. Somebody has to point out where the road of destruction is. But church, there's also a road to life. In fact, after reminding the Colossians of their past, he now tells them where they're at as a current believer. Listen to these things. Now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. I'm going to take these in phrases at a time because I want you to see how incredible these are. Number one, he has reconciled you. If you remember, Paul just told us we were alienated from God. But now, because of Christ, we have been reconciled. Now you are his friend. Notice, though, who takes the initiative. It is he has reconciled you. It's not you. You didn't do it. He did it. He reached out to us. How did he do it? By Christ's physical body through death. Christ's physical life. He came to save us. He became man on earth to become our substitutes. Through him, though, we are able to have a new relationship with God. Christ took our place on the cross. He died on our behalf. When he gave his life for our sin, a doorway was opened for us to be made right with God through his physical death. Why? To present us as holy in his sight. We often really don't understand the tremendous scope of our salvation. Did you know the goal of redemption is not just to keep you out of hell, but it's to make you holy? There's so many people that I just don't want to go to hell. I just don't want to end up there. Church, it is more than just an escape from hell. It is to be holy, and holy means to be set apart for. You have been called and set apart, made holy for Christ. For a purpose, for a plan. Christ has come to set us apart for his service. His goal is to make us completely his. Holy. And without blemish. What a staggering thought. The Savior's goal is to purge all sin from you so you can stand pure before the Father, covered by the blood of Jesus. No longer are you exposed in your sin, but I am in Christ, hid in him. That's how God sees us, without blemish and free from accusation. Did you know you have been declared innocent and all the charges against you have been dropped? There are no more trials. You have been set free. Corrie ten Boom, great story of her life, but she makes this statement. Jesus takes your sin, past, present, and future, dumps it in the ocean, and puts up a sign that reads, "No fishing." Don't go back and dredge it up. Listen, the devil will make a lot of noise. He'll hurl all kinds of accusations at you. But none of them are accepted in the court of God's justice. He justifies you. Paul continues with these words. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. You see, believing in Christ is making a commitment to trust Christ with the rest of your life. Continuing in the faith. It means deciding to live by His standard of right and wrong. It means continuing to follow Him even when we don't understand what He's doing. At times we will stumble. At times we may even fall. But true faith keeps us coming back to the Father and seeking to always realign our hearts with His. People say, well, how do you know when you really have fallen away when you don't come back and realign with God? If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on an issue of your life, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is trying to realign your life. Paul wants the Colossians to not let their guard down. You're going to be hearing more about this as we walk through Colossians. Church, we need to prepare ourselves for false prophets and false teachers. You say, how do you know I'm not one? That's why I'm trying to bring you the Word. Let's just stay in the Word. Keep reading the Word. Keep going over it. You go home and read it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. In fact, it'll be more alive than ever if you do it. Church, we need to prepare ourselves. We need to stay strong and keep alert. Keep pressing forward, church. I paused because I shared something first service and it just came back and I'm just, church, this washing, the Bible talks about the washing of the water of the Word. And I think one of the things that we don't do well is let the Word of God work in our lives. I don't know what your devotion is like, but even if you took Psalm 23, it just would work it into your life. Like, just start off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And you just keep working that scripture. And then when you're driving along the interstate, you see the billboard that causes your mind to be drawn away because of some girly thing. All of a sudden, you begin to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You just keep pouring that scripture and that word, and the washing of the water of the Word begins to wash those things out of your life and begins to cause your mind to be renewed. Church, that's how it works. You say, well, all I know is the scripture, God so loved the world. When I see those billboards, I see the TV and its commercials. Oh, God, you so love the world. You gave your Son. Church, somewhere we've got to get the Word working in our lives. Paul tells us next that this gospel that you've heard and it's been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. I hope that this gospel he's talking about is the gospel that you've heard from this pulpit time and time again. I believe it's the same. Church, I would not want to do anything to mislead you because I do not want to stand before Christ having misled a church. That's the last thing I want. That would not be exciting. I want to tell you the truth. Church, I want us to stand firm. I want us to proclaim this gospel. Let me share some final thoughts with you. Listen, it's important to take regular time to remind ourselves of where we used to live. You say, well, I don't want to think about my past. But church, when you remember the state of your heart before you met Christ, you will have a greater sense of gratitude for what He did. I love Paul. Paul, we like to elevate Paul. But listen, Paul says, I am the worst of sinners. Paul reminds himself because he has a great sense of gratitude for what Christ has done. I will boast in the cross. I'll boast in what He did for me because of who I was. Church, I think as a body of believers, we get into the faith. I'm 38 years. I've been following wholehearted after God. But I know in those 38 years, you can grow a little bit cold. You can grow a little bit stagnant. Church, I don't want to be stagnant. I want to be so on fire. I want the purposes of the Lord until my days and my breath is gone to be proclaiming and living for Him. I want to be that kind of servant. Church, also we need to find a deeper sense of worship. And we'll do that when we no longer rush into our time with God, demanding for Him to do things for us. Church, you were created for Him. He wasn't created for you. We come softly before God, humbly before Him, recognizing His transforming love and grace in our life. You approach God with humility and not arrogance. And you become more about honoring Him than enjoying yourself. I don't know why you show up week after week. Still boggles my mind. Maybe you're just amused by the southern voice. Can I have another amen? I don't know. Why do you come to church? Is it for your own enjoyment? Well, I like worship. I like my friends. Church, I come here to honor God. I come here to honor Him by telling you His word. Church, it wasn't about you to enjoy. It's about honoring Him, giving Him glory, giving Him praise. But church, we become so demanding of Him. Lord, you got to do this in my life. When do you become His servant? God, what would you like me to do today? I know my stomach is craving some food after we are done here. But Lord, where would you like me to go? I know what I like, but I'd like to ask you what you would like. Is there something in the agenda that you have that I don't want to miss? Church, like Paul, I want to serve Him. I want to represent Him. You need to renew your mind, church. I'll close with this. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You will learn to know God's will for you, which, by the way, is good and pleasing and perfect. Our minds are corrupted by sin. That's our struggle with getting to know God, because we have this corrupted image at times. And our minds have to constantly be renewed. Constantly. I haven't arrived. I can't say that I didn't have any evil thoughts this week. I don't like confessing my faults. But I know that when I do, I recognize that I stand under grace. And I know I want to continue under grace. So I have to continue to renew my mind. The Bible says to arrest the thoughts, take captive the thoughts, every one of them. Not just the bad thoughts, the good thoughts too. Take them captive. Arrest them. Take them to court and say, do you have a right to enter my mind? Do I have a right to dwell on this? Paul tries to encourage us. Why don't you dwell on things that are right and pure and just and honorable and of good report? We need to get our minds renewed, church. We need to read the Bible daily. See, I'm not sure anybody else is going to really tell you the truth. I hope every church is telling the truth today. But I honestly do know that that isn't happening everywhere. I know that. And I'm not going to sit here and pinpoint which ones are or aren't. In fact, if you get the word, your discerner will awake. Your discerner will get it. Because the Holy Spirit is the discerner in you. And He'll guide you only into truth. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't talk a lot about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But church, I'm going to tell you this morning, if we're going to endeavor and do what the early church did, we're going to need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because we try it on our own, it's just going to be some man effort instead of divine. Church, continue to work on renewing your mind. When you give friends that will speak truth into your life. Dan, I consider you a friend. We had a good conversation a few weeks ago. We sat with a couple other guys. And I want to be in such a relationship that, Dan, if I ever saw anything in your life that I didn't think was pleasing to the Lord, by the way, I'm going to tell you. Same for me. Dan, if you see me do anything that dishonors, an attitude, let me know. Tell me the truth. Church, it goes for every one of you. You see your pastor doing anything that he shouldn't be doing, don't just say, oh, God, help him. Come to me. The Bible says if you have something against someone, go to them. Let's make it right. I need guards in my life. I need prayer teams praying for me. Y'all think I got it all together, don't you? Okay, he's got the jacket. He's got the, hey, you got the memo today for the orange. Thank you. Church, I'm walking this thing, renewing my mind every day, just like you need to. Just like I believe many of you are. I challenge all of us to do this. Are you ready? I want you to practice honesty. I want you to call sin, sin. Can you do it? Because I want you to know, if you will confess that sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of that sin. And He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Wow. Talk about a love relationship. You need to live the truth, church. What's the truth? We're sinners. It's what we are. You're not much different than the people you work with. Your thought patterns probably aren't a lot different. Probably should be more so. But He's growing us. He's leading us. Church, I'm a sinner, but I am saved by grace. And now that I'm in love with Christ, I try to follow His ways. And I want to live a life. And forgive me if this sounds a little prideful. It's not meant with any pride. But church, I want to live a life that when you watch me, you see Christ. That's the kind of life I want. I want you to look at me and there's something different. But I do know that if we're not careful, we'll have the Moses complex. Moses, remember he was up in the mountain? And the glory of the Lord shone from him after he had an encounter with God. He comes down from the mountain and after a period of, well, he put a veil over his face, the Bible says, so the people wouldn't see that. But later on, the glory faded. And Moses lived a lie. The glory was gone, but he kept the veil on. Didn't want people to know that shining whatever had happened had gone. Church, I don't know if I'll glow like that. But I'm going to be honest with you. Because I want to walk it with you. I don't want to walk ahead of you. I want to go with you. We're going to do this together as the body of Christ. There's no hierarchy in this church. Yeah, am I the president of the corporation? Am I the pastor of the church? Yes, am I the leader? Am I a spiritual leader? Those are all true. But before heaven, it doesn't make me have access to Him any quicker than you. God loves every one of you, and every one of you have access to God. But you need to live the truth. That's where you need to live. Living the truth. Be honest with God. You're not going to fool Him. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close, my heart is just a little bit heavy. Because God, I want you to clean up your church. Lord, I want every life in here this week to have the glory of the Lord about it. So I pray for them. I pray for me. God, would you let your glory fill each of these human temples? Would you come? Fill our lives, Holy Spirit. Pour over us. Let us renew our minds today and tomorrow. Use us, O God. Lord, as we endeavor to link with other churches, other communities, God, I pray that you would cause a revival to first of all sweep into the hearts of your people, into the homes, to our communities, to our nation, to the world. Lord, I'm in love with you today. And I want you to use me. I want you to use us. Amen. Could we just sing a love song with me this morning to the Lord? And this is our closing. I'm already going to say it. The Lord bless you and keep you and have a Jesus-filled week. All that good stuff. That's all good and well. But if you don't have that love relationship and grateful for what He did in your life, you're forgiven. No accusations here. You're free. There's no blemish. You're free.